Good morning. Today we are reading John 21, verses 1 through 14. Please stand with me in honor of reading God's word. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, do you have any fish? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Thank you. You may be seated.
He's risen. I love singing with you. And I'm grateful here in a moment we'll be able to see five of our youth confess their faith following a pattern which for generations people who have submitted themselves to Christ make public. A private faith made public with the aim of pursuing Christ for a lifetime. We are never going to find anyone greater or marvelous than the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the most wonderful things about Resurrection Sunday, as the church, we always celebrate on the Lord's Day, the day of his resurrection. And we know today is a bit more significant. But there is nothing more incredible than the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the power, the means over death, to resurrect from it, and being willingly, voluntarily offering himself in your place. He loves you and desires an eternal relationship with you and has satisfied the payment so that we all might enjoy him. I chose this passage this morning not because we recognize the significance of Christ having the power over death. We love that about Christ. It was impossible for the author of life to be held in the grasp of death. Impossible. And we love Christ for that. But it's more than that we love about Christ. We love his power. And the wonderful thing we love about Christ is his character. For we know, even in the midst of our world today, there are those who hold power, and we yet do not honor them because the power that which they hold does not reflect the joy that if we had them have the character to steward it. But in Christ, We have eternal power and incredible, eternal, wonderful, glorious character. I don't have enough time to stop and ask you how God Almighty reached you. But do you remember it? The moment when you responded to him. Where were you? Was it inside? Outside? Who was talking to you? Do you remember what you smelled when you finally decided to commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? The portion of this scripture stresses the incredible tender care which Christ extended to Peter. And I love Resurrection Sunday, and no doubt we all enjoy it, because within this unique passage, we could have looked at Thomas, who had a doubt, like, who can conquer death? Christ tenderly exposed himself, or revealed himself to Thomas, and said, Thomas, put just your hand here. Like, you saw me die, I'm risen. Demonstrating that Christ had the power over death. But in his attention to Peter, it revealed his character towards him. And I think if you just come reflect with me, you'll find it's personal with you. Peter's first impression with Christ was one first met with a little bit of confusion, but then also eventually he was overwhelmed by Christ. Jesus quickly, while he was in Galilee, had done a number of signs and miracles, and people were amazed by his power. And when one day Peter's out fishing and has come to the shore, and Jesus comes along the shore, and the crowds are following and they're pressing against Jesus. And Jesus turning to Peter and saying, can I use your boat? And so Jesus gets in Peter's boat and he's preaching and he's listening. And after, when he was done, he told Peter to go set the boat out. And Peter had been fishing all night in the Sea of Galilee, caught nothing. Jesus, after teaching, said, push out a little bit, Peter, and let your nets down for a catch. And Peter said, disbelief, but we toiled all night, took nothing. But since you say to do it, I'm going to do it. And Peter threw down his nets, and when they pulled those nets, they were so full, it took two boats to bring them in. And Peter was instantly overwhelmed, recognizing this one whom he stood before, and he said, Jesus, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Jesus, he said, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. Follow me. Of all the disciples, that mark at the Sea of Galilee, when she saw Christ do something that nobody else could do after being able to catch nothing all night, marked Peter's life. And for the next 3.5 years, he is marked as one of the most devoted people for Christ. In fact, when you read the Gospels, you find yourself laughing at Peter because he is willing to do things that the rest are not willing to do. They see Jesus walking on the water and they're terrified because people don't walk on the water. Someone thinks it's a ghost. And so Peter and the disciples yell out, and Jesus says, it is I, come out and walk. And Peter's the first. He walks out on the water. He was, if you watch Peter and the life and the devotion that he had towards Christ, his initial impression of him, he loved the man. After hearing him teach and seeing what he could do, when Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? It was Peter who spoke on behalf of the rest. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He had a hard time with the idea that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he was going to die on the cross, and he was going to resurrect. And he rebuked Jesus. You can't do that. But Jesus tenderly took Peter, and Peter saw him, Jesus transfigured on the mountain. In fact, Peter's devotion to Christ initially shocked, it just grows. It's what makes this passage so striking. In fact, right before Jesus is going to be crucified, Jesus takes them into this upper room and Jesus starts washing all the feet. And Peter watches. He's getting a little frustrated that the other disciples are letting Jesus wash their feet. And Peter, when it comes to his turn, he won't let Jesus wash his feet because he knows who this man is. But Jesus says, "You don't let me wash your feet. You have nothing to do with me." And Jesus is like, not only wash my feet, wash my whole body. In fact, among the rest, he is the one that said, "If you're going to Jerusalem to die, I'm going to die too with you." In fact, when they were at the Garden of Gethsemane, soldiers appeared in the night. It was him who took out his sword and he was ready to fight, cutting off the man's ear. Amongst the 12, Peter was marked by the man and was so devoted to him. Ready to fight, ready to die for him. And then came his shame. 3.5 years of just growing to appreciate who he was. Knowing that he was going to Jerusalem, it was going to get tough and he was going to die. Peter begins to say, "I'm going to lay my life down for you. If you die, I'll lay it down for you." John 13:38. Here's this, Jesus answered, "Will you really lay your life down for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Peter, in his life, had some significant highs. Highly devoted for Christ. And then it all fell apart around a charcoal fire. Can see Jesus being tried by the religious leaders. And the people come. They see Peter sitting around a charcoal fire. And 3 times. 1 John 3:18. "In this place he's warming his hand. Now the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. And they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself." And it was there. It was there. 3 times he says, "I'm not his disciple." And on the 3rd time, in the dawn of the morning, the rooster crowed. Peter's initial response to Christ was overwhelmingly, and what he wanted to do was devote himself to this man, Christ Jesus. And it all falls apart within a night. When Christ is being tried, he denies Christ 3 times. I know I've just done a little bit of backstory with Peter, but understanding these things make this passage personal. The gospel is personal. Do you remember the place? Do you remember the time? Do you remember what you smelled? I know that's weird. This is my bedroom. God appointed within his wisdom my mother. Their tenderness to explain the gospel to me, in which I wholeheartedly accepted. God knows us each in our own places, and he knows how to speak to you. And what makes John chapter 21 is he knows Peter. This is the 3rd time in which Peter is going to witness the resurrected Lord. The 1st time, after Jesus is resurrected, Jesus appears to the disciples, and it's just this public display that "I am risen," and then he's gone. The only person that's not there at the first appearance is Thomas. Thomas hears the report of the others, won't believe. But the Lord, knowing the heart of Thomas and tenderly knowing he needed the evidence, appeared to Thomas. Oh, Thomas, wanting to put his hand on his side and his hand where the nails pierced, the Lord showed up in the second appearance. And when Thomas sees it, he's like, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, John 20:29, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed, have believed." It's interesting to me when Jesus has a conversation with Peter. It would have been awkward. Have you ever betrayed a friend? Only to meet up with them again and have the elephant in the room? You know you need to address it, but you don't want to. He denied Christ 3 times. Jesus knew it, and then he did it. Amongst all the other disciples, he was the most devoted, it appeared. Jesus even giving him warning, he still did it. First time, you know the conversation with Christ needs to happen. It doesn't. The second time, it's all about Thomas. The third time, Peter doesn't know what to do. So he's back at home in Galilee. Jesus waits for Peter to go home to make it personal. Look with me. As Jesus restores the man, Peter. Chapter 21, verse 1. "And after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias." This is the Sea of Galilee. Where did Peter meet Jesus? The Sea of Galilee. Fishing. Jesus, in his tenderness, is going to recreate the whole thing. Why? Because it's personal. He knows what we need. Simon Peter, verse 2. It's so interesting. When Peter met Jesus for the first time, do you know who was there? The 2 sons of Zebedee. And here he is again at home in the Sea of Galilee in a boat. And who's there? The same people. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the 2 others of his disciples were together. It's like, I want to talk to him, but I need him to go back to the beginning. And so he waits. Verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." It may have been a very humbling statement, because when Peter first met Jesus, Jesus said, "You follow me, I'm making you a fisher of men." After 3 denials, you just go back to what you know. "Peter, we're going to go with you." And they went out, got in a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Familiar? Indeed. And then he shows up. Just as the day was breaking. Peter denied Christ just as the day was breaking. The rooster crowed. Jesus stood there on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." For some, I know. The phrase may seem odd, children, but it's a social form of a familiar address. Like today we would say, "Hey guys, how are you doing? Hey, have you guys caught anything?" Verse 6, he said to them, as they said, "No, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. He's doing it. The man who denied Christ 3 times met the man in a boat in the beginning who fished all night, And upon his teaching and after his teaching, had Peter go out, throw his nets down, and upon these things, in his disbelief, he knew who this man was. And he was like, I'll follow you. Except for at the end, before his death upon the cross, he had denied him three times. And Christ, in his wisdom, puts before him the scene again. Now, if you're Peter, what should you be thinking? Verse 7. The disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, it's the Lord. And the light went off. He's so excited because he knows this is about him. Peter met Jesus in the morning in a boat and was unfaithful to him, unwilling to lay his life down with him. Upon being asked, are you his follower? No, I am not. Three times. Verse 7, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got on land, what does Peter see? A charcoal fire. Where were you at? Who was speaking to you? What did you smell? For Peter, these things were important. And as he smells, you ever have that? You can smell something and you can have a good memory, and you can smell something and you can have a bad memory. When Peter, with joy as he is approaching the shore, he sees the charcoal fire and he smells, what do you think he's reminded of? Shame. Verse 10, and Jesus said to them as they all approach, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. Jumping down to verse 12, Jesus, as he's always done, serves his disciples. Come, have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him who you are. They all knew it was the Lord. It would have been an awkward breakfast for Peter. He's filled with joy and then conflicted at the same time with the reality is, what is Jesus going to do with me? Verse 13, and Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. John chapter 21 is a tender experience with Peter and Jesus, which displays not just the power of Christ over his death. He is risen, but it proclaims also the incredible character and why we love this one, our Lord Jesus Christ. For when we sin, it's within his character to restore us. And I just want you to see how Jesus approaches this man. And when Peter denied Christ three times, it requires Christ three questions to restore the man. And around that charcoal fire, in verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, I know who you are. Do you love me more than these? He's had a pattern. He's had a history. He has proven that he's willing to go further than the rest. Do you prioritize me over all of these others? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. 1. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Why must he ask twice? Why must he ask 3 times? He's recreating the scene with a purpose in mind. Do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. The shame of the man is now beginning to be restored. It was 3 denials, so it requires 3 questions. So he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And the moment sinks in. Peter was great. It's in the morning, the Sea of Galilee, a net of fish, a charcoal fire. Do you remember the place? Do you remember the time? Do you remember the person? Do you remember whom God sent to you? And his tender care towards you as the gospel was proclaimed, that you were so overwhelmed with joy that there is one who has power over death, and in that power has such an incredible character that he tenderly brings you to him. That when you, upon hearing it, said, I will follow him. Peter knows the man. Grieved with knowing his failure. A third time, upon hearing, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. And he does. He knows is what is going to cause you to fail. And yet, in the midst of that, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Scene completed. That is where we could end. When you have a man, God Almighty incarnate, who can demonstrate his power over everything, even death itself, and it's fused with the internal, eternal character of God, Jesus is putting before Peter, you can follow me. It'll be worth it. The things we fear set above the person of Christ, which would include family, jobs, health, and being restored, Jesus remembers. Is that the back of the Sea of Galilee? I told you, from this point on, you'll be a fisher of men. Peter growing in devotion and appreciation for Christ, even knowing in the hour of Christ's death was coming, said, I'll lay my life down for you. And around a charcoal fire, denied him 3 times. I want to show you what the restoration of Christ looks like. Verse 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you were stretched out in your hands, and another will dress you. When you get old, you'll stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This is to show, but why? Kind of death, he was glorifying God. We know. Peter does it. Upon his restoration with Christ, he does it. The man, Peter, transformed by the power and character of Christ, goes to a cross. And when he goes to the cross, he says, don't hang me like Christ, but rather put it upside down and let me be crucified. not like my Savior, but unlike my Savior, upside down. And he doesn't deny him. Peter, he said, you'd lay your life down for me. Go do it. And when you do, you'll glorify my name. And after saying these sins, after saying this, he said to him, follow me. We love Christ because of the power which he demonstrates over the cross and the character of the one who restores us to follow him. How long? Until we die. Today we're going to watch 5 baptisms. Youth demonstrating their faith in Christ. Livia, Jacoby, Gideon, Amira, and Harlow. This is merely the beginning. You will find in your days ahead, you'll fail. But know the character of Christ, that when you fail, he restores you, saying, follow me. The gospel's personal. Church, we let each other down. And when our failures, man, it would be tempting to create a rumor about Peter. That guy just denied Christ 3 times. He was the one that spoke the loudest amongst us all. What a failure. Yet, when he was at the Sea of Galilee, he had a brotherhood in which was cultivating the man. We need people in our lives that walk with us towards our restoration. If you've given up, if you have once, like Peter, had a moment in your life where you came before Christ and you enjoyed him, but like Christ, somewhere along the way you stop. It could be a church member who hurt you. It could be a church. It could be anything. Is it possible he's trying to reach you today? Restoring you back to that which he called you to do. You've been idle. And you know it. You love the man, Christ Jesus, for his power and his character, but the standard sets before you is follow me. And when you do, you glorify my name. If we confess our sins, this is the joy of Resurrection Sunday. Why we sing and worship every Lord's Day is because in the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, he forgives us, even people like Peter, restoring us from our sin in right relationship with him and with each other. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness, and it's personal. It was personal with Peter. It's personal with me. It's personal with you. Question is, will you respond like Peter? I am his until I die, submitting to your pattern of salvation in life. We're going to see 5 public professions of faith. Let me remind you of the gospel which we believe. God created everything. And within the midst of his creation, he created humanity to reflect him as an act of worship. His character and his love and his generosity. And we don't. Which the scriptures teach is sin. But in the midst of the consequence of sin, which results in death, and we know that power of sin. in death. But in the midst of it, God promised us a Christ, a Messiah, who would come from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the righteous standard on our behalf, voluntarily offered himself on the cross for our sins, rose on the third day, gloriously resurrecting, and ascended to the Father, bestowing to us the right to enjoy that salvation. And what does God require for us for salvation? To believe in the one whom he sent, who has rescued us from the consequence and the power of sin, freeing us by his Spirit to serve him without fear and in holiness and in righteousness for his name's sake. That is what we believe the gospel is. And so what we see today is a public profession of that journey. You can make it when you're 6 or 7 or 93. And as we witness it, may we be the people that were around Peter to encourage, pointing them to the one with incredible character, to restore us all when we fail. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has demonstrated incredible power. He speaks to the wind and waves, and they grow calm. He feeds with very little, and yet all are satisfied. And his tender understanding of each of us all is personal. Lord, thank you for the way which you reached me, my mother. And for those who are going to make a public profession of their faith this morning, I know their parents played a significant role, their family, extended family played a significant role, and their friends in this church. Lord, may we be an encouragement to them as well, pointing them not to the one just has the power, but also the character to see them finish this faith, holding fast to Christ for a lifetime.